Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Very familiar scripture. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. This word has been preached since last week up until Sunday school this morning. And so what we're trusting God to do is continue to reveal himself in this word. Romans chapter 8. We'll start at verse 18. We'll read it in unison, and we will come together at 28. Amen. Verses 18 through 28 in unison. If I drop out, please continue. Amen. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. Let's begin. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Keep reading. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to call your attention back to verse 18, where Paul says, for I reckon, I calculate, I figure out, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, where? In us. To look at somebody and tell them, figure it out. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. My neighbor, whose backyard is pretty much right outside my bedroom window, for the last couple of weeks or so, early in the morning, up until sundown and after, I hear him working on some project right outside my window. I can be working indoors on my computer, I can be sleeping, I can be doing whatever I want to do, but my neighbor thinks it not robbery to pick up some wood and some nails and a hammer, and all I hear is right outside my window. And I began to be really annoyed because it just kept going on and on and on. It seemed like as soon as he got through nailing the wood, he'd pick up a power tool and saw something, and then he'd do something else, and all of it was noisy. And up until Friday late night and even last night, he was outside after sundown, hammering and sawing and working. However, this past Tuesday, we were both taking out our cans for the trash pickup. And he stopped me and he said, "Did you hear about my son?" And I said, "No." And in my mind, I was thinking, I didn't know you had one, but that's neither here nor there. He said he passed away. And his countenance that I had not paid attention to was so low. And he said, and they caught the man, which let me know his son was murdered. He said, so when I was gone for about a month, he said it was because of what had happened. He said, and you see that little girl I always have with me now, that is his daughter. And I told him I would pray for him, and I still had not made any connection with his projects until he said this, and he was walking back to his door, and I was walking back to my door, and he stopped again, and he said, you know, that's why I'm always working back there. He said, because I have to keep my hands busy. He said, so I won't think. And immediately conviction set in my heart. And this word was already in my spirit. And the Holy Ghost said he basically had to figure it out. Woo, Jesus. I promise if you stay with me, somebody's going to be helped in this word today. And so as far as I know, this man is not a Christian. But even an unsaved man realized that when it comes to suffering, and that's what we're talking about today, when it comes to living in this world where the Bible said it's already a fact and it's not going to be changed that you will suffer. He said, but you're going to have to figure it out. And what my neighbor has done is he has figured that if I keep hitting this nail, I won't lose my mind. If I keep firing up this power tool, I won't think about my loss. I have to do something. He says, I've calculated this, and I know if I go sit down in this house and think too much, I'm going to go crazy. So in effect, he has figured it out. Paul, by the time he writes the letter to the Romans, has already been in prison. He's already been beaten, stoned, left for dead. He's already suffered a couple of ministry relationship breakups. He's already suffered many things. And so by the time we get to chapter 7, Paul says, in all of this, I understand that I'm still struggling with my flesh. Anybody here going to tell the truth to the Holy Ghost today and say, sometimes I still struggle with my flesh? I got my preacher going on today, so y'all going to have to pray for me and wait on me. I'm telling you because this is so in my spirit. And so Paul says, because I have suffered some things and because I struggle in my flesh, I need to figure it out. And so in chapter 7, he basically ends up by saying this, I'm a wretched man, but I'm a saved man. And so in 7:25, he ends like this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I always say to you, Christianity is a thinking man's faith. We did not check our brains at the door when we got saved. And so don't let the world tell you that Christianity is for weak people who are not thinking people, because the Bible says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, which is everything else, the law of sin. So if I can get my mind right, look at somebody and tell them, get your mind right. then I can be successful in this walk with the Lord. Yeah, that's a good place to praise God. We need to figure this out. And so by the time he starts chapter 8, he starts with a praise and he says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what I think. And I think the same thing right along with him. And he spends all the way up until verse 18 talking about how the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Ghost, Sunday school glowers, meaning the Holy Ghost, once I have the Spirit of God in me, then I have a witness. If you'll look at verse 15 and 16, the Spirit itself tells me I'm a child of God. The Bible says, by two witnesses shall a thing be established. I only need two, the Holy Ghost and me. And the Holy Ghost and me say, I'm a child of God. Is anybody else in here a child of God? Hallelujah. I know I'm a child of God, not because of what you say and not because of what anybody else says, but because of what the Holy Ghost said. He said that I'm a child of God, and my spirit agrees with God, and the Holy Ghost is God. We just gonna enjoy Jesus today. Can we do that? And so in verse 18, Paul makes a shift. And I love it when the word of God shifts. He shifts from talking about spiritual things. He said, now let's clarify this flesh thing. Now don't get it twisted. He does not go back to revisit what he said in chapter 7. He doesn't shift back to talk about the flesh so that we can sit, consider again that there's a struggle there between flesh and spirit. He just wants to clarify this flesh thing. He just wants to give us further understanding. So he goes back and he says in verse 18, I have calculated, I figured out that the sufferings which are part of the deal, if you look at verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs. We're children of God, heirs with Christ. Look at the middle of 17. If so be that we do what? Suffer with him. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to have to suffer with him if we want that glory to be revealed in us. And so since suffering is part of the deal, Paul says, I need to figure this out because suffering is not going anywhere. If you're not suffering now, you suffered last week. And if you're not suffering this week, you might suffer next week. And so since suffering is a part of the deal, it makes sense to me for us to figure out how to bear up under the suffering. We don't need to spend too much time considering whether we should be suffering. We spend way too much time questioning, I shouldn't be going through this. Why am I going? That's a waste of time and energy. So since it is already part of the equation that we will suffer, we need to figure it out. So Paul said, I sat a minute and I thought about this suffering thing. He says, and the suffering that I'm suffering in the present is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Now, here's the thing. It goes on, though, because if we stop right there, we'll only shout for 2 minutes on that. See, because when we get a good Holy Ghost hallelujah, that Holy Ghost hallelujah is up on the mountaintop, but we can't stay up there because we're going to have to come back and walk in reality. So what God wants to do today is make sure that we have some tools that come from his word of God that will allow us to bear up under the suffering without it being too heavy. Would you like that? Yeah. I would like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so this is what Paul says in 19. Check this out. For the earnest expectation of the creature, meaning all of creation, earth, animals, all of it, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature or creation was made subject to uselessness, not willingly, but by reason of him with who hath subjected the same in hope. Let me show you what that means. Run over to Genesis chapter 3. Stay with me. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 3, it says here that when Adam was cursed, in verse 17, 3 and 17, watch this. And unto Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, this is when the fall came, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is what? Go back. In other words, in verse 19 and 20, he says the creation was made useless, not willingly. The earth was cursed right along with Adam, but not willingly. Lord have mercy. The earth didn't have anything to do with Adam eating of the tree. The tree was standing there minding its own business. And Adam took from Eve and ate of the fruit of the tree. But the tree had nothing to say about it because the tree is not an intelligent being like the people of God. So they were cursed not willingly. But because of the fall of man, the earth was cursed right along with him. Woo. And in 21, he says, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, when we get free, the earth will get free. Sunday school goers, y'all hear that? Now go up, run on over to Revelation 21 and 1. What in the world are they going to be free from? Hallelujah. Over in 21 and 1, I tried to mark my Bible, but it just didn't work out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Over in 21 and 1, it says, and I saw a new heaven and a new what? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So the creation is waiting for a new earth, just like we're waiting for a new body. Thank you, Jesus. Now watch this in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Now check this out. What Paul has likened this to is a woman in labor. Hallelujah. The Bible says that creation, all of creation is groaning or in labor. Ladies, imagine being in labor for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I'm all set. And then imagine this. As you get closer to deliverance, somebody ought to start shouting. As you get closer to being delivered, how your contractions come closer together. Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Jose, Hurricane this, Hurricane that. The earth, can you imagine? Think of it this way. The earth, the water is throwing up on the earth saying, I'm tired of doing this, and I'm ready to get my new earth. And the Bible says it's in travail. The earthquake is ripping the earth apart over and over again. Say, I'm ready to deliver the new earth. That's how we know, like the Bible said and like Pastor said, the time is not yet, but it's coming. Paul says, I'm just trying to give you some understanding. So when you look at these things, you'll quit tripping. He said, quit asking why, and you need to know why, because we have the mind of Christ. See it like God sees it. We're in labor, y'all. And the earth is tired too. Every time you see something crazy in the earth, you ought to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Woo. Look at it, the whole creation. Somebody this morning said that the animals are tripping now. You know possums and stuff didn't used to run up on you. They used to run away. Now they'll stand there and look at you. What? They're tired. We're tired of doing this.
We're tired of the food chain. Run over to Isaiah. Run over to Isaiah 11. Run over to Isaiah 11. Look at verses 6. Down through 8. Catch me, it says, the wolf also. So dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a small child will be amongst all of them. And if you keep reading, you'll see that children will be able to play with snakes and all of these things. And so don't you think the animals are tired of the food chain? I'm tired. This eats a bug and then something bigger comes and eats that. And then something bigger still comes and rips that apart. And so you're seeing all this violence even in the animal kingdom and even against man, animals against man, because they're tired and they're in travail and they're groaning, saying, God, restore our newness. Get me to the place where I can sit down next to something I'm supposed to eat and have some peace. Go back. So now we got some more understanding from Paul about what all this means. And then in verse 23, then he says, don't get it twisted. It's not just the earth and not just the animals, which have, but ourselves also. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now look at this. The earth and the animals, they can't read this. And they can't be saved. He said, so we're groaning and in travail too. But we have the Spirit, capital S, within ourselves. And even with the Spirit within us is groaning. Saying, when, Lord, when? Waiting for the adoption to wit what? The redemption of this body. Think about your body and all the pain we suffer in it. That's just your body saying, I'm tired. Have you realized we got more medicine but more illnesses? We got more education but more crazy. Isn't it true? We have more of everything what we think is good. And yet there's more bad in man because we are in agony right along with creation. Look at somebody and say, figure it out. So we groan within ourselves, even with the Spirit in us. And so that's why we need to figure out, like my neighbor, how to shift up under these loads. And when you do, do not consider what anybody thinks about it. As long as you're not hurting anybody. And I'll give you an example. These shoes I got on my feet. I bought these shoes. I have a new pain in my leg. I don't know if it's bursitis, tendonitis, arthritis, some other itis. I have no idea what it is. But the pain is excruciating. So I went and bought these overpriced Skechers. Because the way they fit, my leg doesn't hurt as bad. And I didn't consider anything other than removing the pain. The reason why some of us suffer, because you always considering what somebody thinks. Look, I wear these shoes to work every day. I don't care if I got on purple. I don't care if I got on brown. I don't care if I got on navy blue. And they say navy blue and black don't go together. I don't care whether they think I can't afford but one pair of shoes. I couldn't care less what you think because I got to get this pain under control. I'm going to keep wearing them. So get a real good look. Because this is my footwear of the hour. And you better pray, God, I can find them in brown and navy blue. Otherwise, they're going to be black. That freed somebody right there, because some of y'all, you worry too much about what other people think, and not just about clothes, about everything. If I do that, somebody in my family's going to think. On the job, it's real big on the job. It's real big. Because there's co-workers. And all God told us to do in the Word of God was to love them. I don't care how they act. Love them anyway. But we get to considering what other people will think. They'll think, I let people take advantage of me. They'll think, the co-workers will think, that co-worker will think. Who cares? That helped me a lot. Listen, you figure out your part and let God handle the rest. Let them think what they want to think. This is why we suffer so much. We're going to suffer. But you got to figure out how. You got to figure out how to suffer so that it doesn't hurt so much. My friend here has about 4 standing appointments a year. And the reason I know is because I have to pray every time they come around. And I know she's not going to be here. She's going out of town. 4 times a year that I know of. Quit playing. However, she has figured something out, whether she knows it or not. She has figured out is if I don't take a break. See, this is what I'm talking about. You're going to suffer anyhow. But have you calculated how to ease your suffering? Have you spent any time not just asking God why, because that's a waste of time, but actually sitting down and saying, if I can go 3 months, I know I got a Cowboys game coming in Dallas. If I can suffer for 2 more months, I know I got an anniversary trip coming. You think I'm playing, don't you? No, I'm not. You need to figure in your relief. Praise him right there. Yeah. Yeah. You need to calculate how, since I'm going to suffer anyhow, how about I build in some godly things that'll help me bear up under it so that the suffering that would be heavy is now bearable. Why? Because look, I'm ahead of myself, but I can't help it. The Bible says hope. If I have a hope that I'm going to Dallas and Cowboy Stadium, then there's some joy coming. There's nothing wrong with enjoying this life if it's not hurting anybody and it's not taking away from you doing the work that God called you to do. Build it in. Figure it out. Figure it out. Somebody needs to go home today and sit down with their Outlook calendar and plan some stuff. Yeah, Miss Richardson's smiling because she always on the beach. But check it out. She'll come back and set up a blood mobile. She'll come back and minister in the choir. And she'll come back refreshed. Figure it out. The people of God need to be refreshed. I'm preaching to myself. In case you think I'm preaching to you. I can't wait to get to Outlook. And now the way my schedule is, 2 months off in summer, look. Am I going to be gone for 2 months? Absolutely not, because I have things to do in the house of God. Don't get that twisted. But we need to figure out how to suffer in a way that honors the Lord. How can I honor God if my suffering makes me, you look at me like, oh, that ain't God. Whew. Figure it out. Figure it out. Verse 24 and 25 says, for we are saved by what? Hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For when a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience. Wait for it. Work. We already know. Waiting does not mean sitting around twiddling thumbs. That means serving people. Working in the house of God. Working for your family. Blessing. Get your kids and have Bible study. Pray with them. Work. And wait, work and wait, because football season is coming. And I'm not playing. You got to look forward to something. You got to figure it out. And figure out how it fits in Christ. I don't want to leave you with the impression that we're here to just have a good time. No, but we are here to have a God time. And he said he gave us all things to enjoy. Lord have mercy. I promise, Pastor's Myrtle Beach trip looks real good right now. Because that's God. Whew. In verse 26 and 27, we're almost done. He said, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He said, so in your calculations, don't leave out the fact that we are not like the earth and the animals. That we are blessed with the Spirit of God who helps our diseases and helps our suffering. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought sometimes. Have you ever been so stressed out and got so many things coming at you from so many directions that sometimes you get on your knees and just say, help, Jesus. I don't even know where to start. Help. And the Bible says that in those times, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So if anybody takes you to this scripture to talk about tongues, that's a lie. Because it says they can't be uttered. Thinking man's faith. I'm not trying to be mean. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth that what is the emotions of the Spirit? Oh, okay. The mind of the Spirit, thinking man's faith, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to who? The will of God. The Holy Ghost never makes a mistake. When he's praying on our behalf, he's always praying in the will of God. We don't even know it sometimes. And he's turning things and fixing things. And working with God to maneuver things. And so while we're doing our calculations, God is doing greater calculations. We're doing addition and subtraction, and God is multiplying. He's up in trigonometry and calculus and analytics, and he's way up there calculating above where we could even think. And here it is. Verse 28, it certainly is the shout verse, because after you figured things out, tried to figure them out, and after we know that the Spirit is in us and he's working with us to help us, we know that even Jesus is seated on the right hand of God and he's talking to God about us, and we have all of these benefits, No need to calculate the next verse. He didn't say, and I reckon. I'm telling you, these shoes are nice. Get some. They're nice. They got memory foam in them. Yeah. It says, and we know. So when you can't figure it out, you've done your part. And you know the Holy Ghost is doing his part. And because the Holy Ghost and Jesus are doing their part, you can know something. You don't have to worry about this part. You can know that all things, everything you've calculated in, everything you figured out, everything the Holy Ghost has prayed about, everything Jesus has prayed about, is going to all work together for good to them that love God. How many love God? And to them who are the called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? Salvation, redemption of mankind. So let me run on to the close. You didn't have to calculate whether Jesus loved you or not. You don't have to figure out whether he loved you, because the Bible says that God had already figured out what it would cost for us to be saved. He already figured out what it would cost for this earth to be made new again. He's already figured out how he can make these animals sit down next to one another. It's already been figured out. So when Jesus was on his way to the cross, when he stepped off in the garden to pray and asked God to remove the cup, that's why God didn't say anything, because you mathematicians know there's only one answer to the problem. That's why I like math. Math is finite. I know they said there's an infinite number, but y'all don't know what it is. But I do know that 2 + 2 = 4. And so I know when God calculates something, he already has the answer. So he already knew that redemption was required. He already knew that suffering was required. He already knew that blood was required. So he didn't answer Jesus a word. So even when Jesus tried to recalculate, I'm so glad they changed the GPS so that when you make a wrong turn, they stop saying, recalculate. Because in God's economy, there is no recalculation. He said, Jesus has got to go to the cross. Jesus has got to pay for Mary's sins. Jesus has got to shed blood for the cleansing of all unrighteousness. I've already figured it out. I've already assigned Jesus to the task, because there's nobody else who can do it. He said, I already got all the pieces in place, and all we have to do is bear up under it. And so Jesus got to figuring. He says, since I got to do this anyway, since I have to suffer anyway, I tell you what, I'm going to go to the cross, and instead of focusing on my pain, I'm going to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So catch this. When you're calculating and figuring out how not to suffer badly, make sure you include others in the equation. Make sure you include service in the equation. Make sure you include prayer in the equation. And that will help you bear up under your suffering. So Jesus got to calculating again. And he said, even though I'm hanging here like a thief and I'm hanging here paying for sins, I'm still God. So how about I save somebody? Hallelujah. So when you're trying to figure out how to suffer, if you'll tell somebody that Jesus loves them, if you'll hold a tent revival in the midst of it all and get 3 people saved, that'll help you bear up under your own suffering. So Jesus said, wait a minute, it's getting heavy again. I need to calculate. I need to figure this out again. He says, it's getting heavy. So he looked out and saw his mother. And he said, you know what? I can bear up better if I provide for somebody. So he figured that out. So in your calculations, make sure you build in provision for somebody else. If you have extra, share it. Food pantry, blood, money, whatever you have. If you'll provide for somebody, that'll help you shift up under your own suffering. And after he provided for his mother, he turned his attention to God. And he said, I need to figure this out because my own father has turned his back on me. And so there's sometimes, y'all, when it's just going to be dark. Receive that. Receive that. See, that wasn't a shout for you. But it should be. You know why? Because it had a time frame around it. It was a set time between the time that God darkened the earth and did all that so Jesus could pay for my sins. There was a set time, and then it was over. So if there comes a time you have tried to figure it out, you've calculated it, you know the Holy Ghost has prayed for you and Jesus has prayed for you, and you're still in the dark, bear up under it. Come on, right there. Because it'll be over soon. Then the Bible says, yes, sir, love the Bible, that at when it was over, and after he had said, I thirst, and they tried to give him vinegar. So see, there's some little details that are always going to pop up, little details. And sometimes the little details are so small, we make them so big because we go back to the questioning. Why do I have to go through this? What is this about? Waste of time.
Yeah.
Waste of time. If you don't take nothing else from today, take that. Yeah. Don't waste time asking God why. I've done it, and it drains you. It drains you. And there's no reason for it. Just figure out how to bear up under it. And so little details will pop up. All you need to do is shift. Get out of it. You know, something else will come up. Here we go. Right? Just shift up under it real quick. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just shift. And keep moving. And then the Bible says, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. Told God, into thine hands I commend my spirit. So here's a big one for you. When you're figuring, calculating how to bear up under suffering so that it is godly suffering and not overdone suffering, remember to get close to God. Our tendency, some of us, is to run from him. But why? Why do we do that? Because we're questioning. If you can train yourself, didn't he say this is a thinking? This whole scripture, this whole chapter was about thinking your way through stuff. If you can train your mind to stop thinking about suffering and start figuring out how to maneuver, you won't run from God. He didn't run from God, he ran to him. So put that in your calculation. Run towards God. Say, into thine hand I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he died. They put him in the grave. But look at God. You know that new heaven and that new earth that creation is waiting for? You know those new bodies? Our body's trying to rip itself to shreds. I promise my leg is trying to come off my body right now. Amen. But see, because I got understanding, I have hope. And I can laugh now instead of groan. Isn't that y'all see Jesus? It's just travail. It's just my body groaning and saying, oh, I can't wait for redemption. Amen. And so when Jesus went into the grave and God got him up from the grave, that was the first fruits. Not just for us, but for the earth, for the animals. So we have hope of glory. When he got up, when God raised him up, that was the victory. So now I don't have to sit and contemplate suffering. Let's stop and think about it. I need to work with it. Calculate. Put some stuff on the calendar that doesn't interfere, that does not interfere, that does not interfere with God's purpose for your life. Make that, listen, I'm glad the Holy Ghost is making that point. You have work to do. You have work to do, but you need restoration, refreshing, release, hope in the midst of it all. Jesus secured that at Calvary. And when he got up, he said, I've already figured out the big part. That's already done. It's fixed. All you need to do now is figure out the small stuff. Paul said, I reckon this suffering, that's why he said it. He says, you can't compare the fact that you need to figure out a few areas of suffering in your life. You can't compare that to the glory that's going to be revealed. Can you imagine a perfect world, earth, animals perfectly related to one another? These bodies perfectly capable of shouting all day, every day if we want to. That's what's coming. That's the glory. That's the glory. But in the meantime, you can figure out glimpses of that glory. Jesus rested, y'all. But he was always about his Father's business. Figure it out. Figure it out. And we have some prayer.